Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106. Seven, the Fan. We're going to get back into your thoughts on the big news in D.C. of Reuben Foster being claimed by the Washington Redskins. Hang on the lines if you want to chime in at 800-636-1067. Remember, Mike Rizzo of the Washington Nationals is going to join us in a little less than a half hour. We're going to get the blueprint on the offseason plan from him, and we're doing that because 2018 Nats Winterfest is this weekend, December 1st and 2nd, presented by StubHub right here at Nationals Park. Going to be an amazing event. Tickets are available online at nationals.com/winterfest. Fans who want to have a full weekend of baseball and holiday fun can attend both days of Winterfest and save 30% on tickets per day. Ryan Zimmerman is one of the longest tenured athletes in Washington, D.C., going back to 2005 with the Nats, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's one of the participants in Winterfest. Zim, what do you think of leaving the warm confines of the convention center to come on over to the ballpark this weekend for Winterfest? Fans are going to like it because they're going to get to tour the clubhouse and things. How about for you guys? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think, change of venue and, you know, if you have the ability to use your stadium, your locker room, let the fans kind of get, I guess, an inside sneak peek of that stuff that they normally don't get. To me, that's more exciting than just looking for everybody.
Hey, Zim, when does the – I mean, you're not a guy that gets bothered by nearly anything. You know, you could actually be on fire and you'd go, look, there's a fire on me. Whatever, I'll deal with it. But when do you kind of get over a season? You know, when do you kind of wash it clean and then sort of look ahead to the next thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you obviously take a couple weeks or a month or so afterwards to kind of decompress. And I think it's healthy to – look back at a season, whether it's, you know, good or bad, or and it can be both, to be honest with you. But I think the only way you get better and moving forward, you don't make the same mistakes again, is to assess individually how your season went, team-wise how your season went, and, you know, move forward from there. Obviously, last year was disappointing, but, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's nice for a season to be disappointing if you don't make the playoffs. That's an organization you want to be a part of. That's what you play the game for. And, you know, not too long ago, those weren't the expectations here. So as disappointing as it was, I think you look back, you learn from it. You know, exciting. It's going to be exciting to see what happens this offseason as far as some new guys or what they do with the roster. And then you move forward to next year and try and make another run at it.
The results obviously were not what anybody would have wanted, but what did you like about Davey Martinez as a first-year manager last year, and are you as confident in him being the guy for the job now as you were a year ago today?
Yeah, I think Davey, you know, everyone's going to do things that, you know, players, managers, that they probably look back and say, I should have done this different, I should have done that, but, you know, that's part of sports. I think, you know, if everyone made the right decisions or made the right plays all the time, it'd be pretty boring. But I think what he did is, you know, as far as with players, I think one of the things that I know I love about him, and I can probably speak for most of the guys, is, you know, he's very, very honest with us. You know, he's going to tell you the truth, good or bad, and his communication skills are off the charts. I think being able to walk around and talk to each guy and, you know, I think he does a good job of knowing, you know, how each individual likes to be treated, what makes them want to, you know, play for him. And, you know, he's only going to get better as that goes. As far as the game management stuff and all that, you know, people are always gonna critique any manager on decisions they make. But I think the more experience he gets, you know, the better he'll get at that. Not that he was bad last year, but I think the only way to learn how to do that is to manage.
Ryan Zimmerman with us here on Grant and Danny. Nats Winterfest this Saturday. We're here at Broadcasting Live from the Nats Team Store. A cornucopia of Nats gear. There's a new spring training logo. It's awesome, by the way. It's a W right in front of the Capitol building. Looks really neat. Come on by and get some gear. Zim, what do you guys need? You know, everybody else, you know, Philadelphia's on the rise. Atlanta's coming. They've already made a couple splash moves. Philadelphia's rumored to have monopoly money, basically, at this point, looking to spend and bring in a bunch of players. No longer a cakewalk in this division. What's your shopping list? What do you think you guys need to get back to where you've been here so often in these last several years?
Right. You know, I think the good news is the core group of guys that we have is still a really good core that pretty much anyone would want to start with. I think if you just go around and, you know, if you got the two big right-handers at the top, obviously Steven, if he can stay healthy and pitch, we know what he can do. Max is obviously just a freak, I guess, is the only way to explain him. You know, and then you go around the diamond. I mean, third baseman is, you know, I'm biased, but, you know, one of, if not the best third baseman in the game. The shortstop's one of the most exciting young guys that's really starting to kind of come into his own and played every single day last year and has really, I think, proven to people that he can play the shortstop position. Second base, obviously, we, you know, that's one of the places where we're going to have to do something. First base, there's a decent player over there. He needs to stay on the field. When he stays on the field, I still think he can play at a high level. You know, catcher, signing Zouk back to another 2-year deal. What he does with the pitchers and in the clubhouse is great. You know, I think I heard Mike's coming on in a little bit. He'll probably be able to tell you a little bit more, but I would assume they'll probably either go out and get someone else to kind of piggyback with Kurt and go kind of that route. Or obviously, I think some of the young catchers have done some good things, but we'll see what they do there. And then, you know, the outfield. I think, obviously, a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen with Harp. And, you know, I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that. You know, I think he's obviously one of the better players in the game. And, you know, any team that he's on, he instantly makes better. But if for some reason he doesn't come back here, you know, Juan Soto is a pretty impressive young player. I think Victor Robles has got a chance to be a really good big league player. And then, you know, you got a guy like Adam Eaton that, you know, having guys like that on your team is, I think, essential to winning. Kind of the way he plays the game, the attitude that he brings every day. So if that's your starting outfield, you're sitting pretty good with a super talented guy like Michael A. Taylor to kind of do whatever you need to do. So I think we're doing all right. Obviously, you can always get better. And like you said, the teams in our division are kind of coming back from their rebuilds or whatever you want to call it. So nothing's going to be easy, but that's the way professional sports are.
Ryan Zimmerman, just a couple of seasons removed, 2017, 36 homers, over 100 batted in, and hit over 300 for the year. I'm going to ask you a question you're going to hate me for, but I'm going to do it anyway because you're a nice guy and I think you can handle it. What's your spring training plan this year? Are you going to be playing in spring training games?
Yes.
All right. So kind of back, you know, to the pre-2018, or like, you take us through it. What did you think that was a factor at all, and what's your thought this year?
Well, I mean, the reason I didn't play in games is because I was banged up a little bit. I think that's been documented, I think, during the season last year and after the season when I got that question for obvious reasons. You know, and the whole thing goes back to, well, were you injured and you didn't tell anybody? And, you know, I wasn't injured. I had some things going on. And for me to have the best chance to play opening day and be ready for the season, that was the best course of action that Davey, myself, and the trainers put together. You know, I think you guys know me, and I think – spring training is overrated, but do I think you need to play in spring training? Of course. I think, you know, I think playing games in spring training is necessary. But last year, the best way for me to be ready to play day one of the regular season and help the team win games that mattered was to do what we did. And, it wasn't the perfect scenario, and I don't think anyone would want that to happen again. But, that's what we did. That's what we had to deal with. And, I will be participating in some games, and I won't be participating in a lot of games.
You're not going to take any of those long bus rides, right? Like the hour and a half away.
You've earned that right to not have low leg room.
Well, the good thing with us now is, you know, we play 80% of our games either at home or on the road against the Astros, and, you know, a ton of other road games are in Jupiter, which is, you know, you show up to the facility in the morning, you do your work, and then you either take the bus or just drive over to Jupiter and play a game there, and then you drive 10 minutes home. So the new spring training spot is awesome, but also for the travel and being able to be close and get some work in without having to take hour and a half trips, which is good for nobody.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, great to catch up, buddy. Enjoy Winterfest this Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon, man. See ya.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, bud.
Always a pleasure. There's Ryan Zimmerman, one of the good guys in D.C. sports, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Keep your fingers crossed. You keep him on the field, you're going to get a lot of runs produced from that bat.
Yeah, man.
A lot of power as well. Mike Rizzo is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll put a bow on our Reuben Foster discussion for now with you guys next at 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on the Redskins making the controversial decision to claim the released San Francisco 49er on waivers. 30 other teams passed on him, not the Redskins. On the Fan, we've got an exclusive interview with Mike Rizzo coming up as we broadcast live from just outside of Nats Park at the Nationals team store. If you're in the area today, Half Street or the ballpark, Southeast DC, come on by and say hello. We're here until 2 o'clock for the next 3.5 hours or so. We're looking forward to spending some time with you guys. So say hello and get yourself some Nats gear ahead of Winterfest, which is Saturday, December 1st, Sunday, December 2nd. Rizzo gives us the blueprint for the offseason plans ahead coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, though, we're talking Reuben Foster. The Redskins have claimed the former 49er, first-round pick, inside linebacker, a sideline-to-sideline guy. I texted with someone in the front office yesterday, and I said, can he cover? Is he more of a box player? And they said he does not have a weakness in terms of his game. He wouldn't come off the field. He's a three-down linebacker. He would be, they didn't say this, I will, the most complete linebacker on the roster if they had him playing next season. That may never happen because he is in all kinds of trouble off of the field after an arrest that led to him being jailed overnight on Saturday into Sunday morning, released by the San Francisco 49ers. We've talked quite a bit about the allegations, his ex-girlfriend / on-again-off-again girlfriend, I don't know if they're together or not right now, Alyssa Ennis and him have been involved in two domestic disputes that have led to arrests of Foster, the first of which, after she recanted what she said happened, led to the charges being dismissed. Not sure what's going to happen this time. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on line 8, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Come in.
Really quickly, I think that, there really is no pretext for morality in the NFL, either on the side of the team, the players, or the fans. I really get kind of annoyed when people come out and express all this outrage, because I can assure you, if he was a perennial Pro Bowl player, defensive MVP, they would find all manner of excuses to make sure that he could play.
That's the
hypocrisy. I totally agree with Grant. This is a business decision. However, the flaws that I find in this are, this guy has been proven that he's had series of issues and poor decision-making. Why do they think that is going to change going forward?
That's the question, Chris. Thanks for the call.
That should be asked
today when the press conference begins, and I'm assuming they'll have credential requests for ESPN and NFL Network, and anybody who covers this team is going to be there. why will you be able to do for him what San Francisco could not?
Because sometimes it works. Here's the answer. Sometimes it's Sean Taylor. Sometimes it's Junior Gallette. Sometimes it's pick your NFL player who did something terrible and then gets right, right? And other times it's not. Other times it's awful. Other times it's how did you not see this coming? You have to judge each case on an individual basis. Is a 24-year-old, in the case of Reuben Foster, is he too far gone? Is he always going to be this way? Or the 4 years, or I guess 3 years, right, that he was in Alabama, where he was, by all accounts, perfectly within the boundaries because of a great support structure where they were able to micromanage every element of his day. Now that he's got the freedom of being a pro, he hasn't behaved particularly well.
The first thing that has to happen, by the way, Danny, this relationship that is volatile and a disaster needs to end for good, right? I mean, you cannot stay in this relationship. And by the way, I would tell Alyssa Ennis the exact same thing, who sounds like she's a victim a couple of times over here. Get out of this relationship. Sure. I know that's easier said than done on the outside.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's oil and water. That needs to end immediately.
It's a volatile mix at best, and it's disastrous at worst. But that's the answer. Sometimes people get better. Sometimes people make better decisions as they grow up. We've seen it happen before. We've also seen it go the other way.
Cordell, D.C., you're on Grant and Danny on the Fan. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Couple things real quick. Number one, Grant, you brought up the AP situation. To me, this is totally different because obviously this guy's apparently, quote, continuously hitting his girlfriend on the multiple occasions. AP is disciplining his child. And I'm not saying AP didn't cross the line, but to me, that's the lesser of the two evils.
Well, I'm going to let you stay on the line. Hold on. I don't want to hang up on you by any means, but I did admit, I said they're very different, but it's not like he spanked his kid like you spank your kid with an open hand if you're listening right now.
Right.
He hit his kid with a switch to the point
where
he had to go to
the
hospital.
No, yeah, I'm admitting he went across the line.
Right.
But this isn't Reuben Foster, who's been arrested 3 times this year and twice on.
I agree. Now, Peterson did get arrested.
The same girl.
He also got arrested in 2012 in a bar when he got in a fight with an off-duty officer. So, again, I'm not here to say guys are bad guys or good guys. I like Adrian Peterson. I would have signed Adrian Peterson. My point is just there is a hypocrisy here that we acknowledge when guys we don't think can help us or, he's not worth it if in the eyes of a lot of fans.
Well,
they have a problem with it. But when it's Peterson, it's okay.
I don't know how anybody that watches this team can say that Reuben Foster can't help us talent-wise on the field and knows him as a player. No doubt in my mind this dude would help us. Him next to Zach Brown is scary to me. But the thing here is, When Alex Smith went down, a lot of people I know were quick to bring up Colin Kaepernick, and I was quick to say, and I like Colin Kaepernick. I think he should be in the league. But I said, I don't think he'll be here because, A, he doesn't fit our system, and, B, they're going to go with a guy in Colt McCoy who's been in a system that they trust. And Colin Kaepernick is going to bring a media circus that we don't want to tolerate, and we're not equipped to handle as an organization. We don't have that stability. But then we turn around and claim Reuben Foster, not pick him up after he's been cut, but we are the only team to claim him. I know Jay Gruden's love for him. I know it of it going back since the combine. But how can I defend this? How can I defend signing a guy who's been arrested 3 times this year when we've got a guy, Colin Kaepernick, at a position that we clearly need? We need a quarterback. But we won't sign this guy.
Well, the only thing I'd say, Cordell, thanks for the call, buddy. Reuben Foster's a lot better linebacker than Colin Kaepernick is a quarterback.
I've seen so much of this, by the way, over the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
The false equivalency of, a guy accused of this, but they won't sign Kaepernick, though. There's a lack of admission that there are more layers to it. I'm not saying one's right or the other, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm saying people have drawn this false equivalency, and it's saying you endorse this, but you don't endorse because he knelt that time. I think it's lazy, frankly.
I bet if you ask the Redskins what's worse, kneeling or hitting a woman, they would say hitting a woman's worse. The difference is that they're making the decision based on who can help their football team more in the next 3 years. And the answer to them is Reuben Foster, not Colin Kaepernick.
And it's your right to disagree with that, by the way. If your evaluation based on 2016, two full seasons ago now, is that Kaepernick is the best option available. And he might be. He might be better than some of the guys that have been signed. That's you're right, but it's just this easy, lazy, low-hanging fruit of, well, they're mad about this one thing, and therefore they endorse domestic violence over kneeling for the anthem. I hate that comp.
Benched for Blaine Gabbert at one point in time toward the end of his career as a quarterback. I mean, that just shouldn't be forgotten. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, Mike Rizzo, the executive VP of baseball ops for the Washington Nationals, joins us live at the Nationals team store. We'll ask him about the offseason. I also want to ask him as an executive about the decision potentially to bring in a guy who has major character concerns and is involved in something legally. How do you go about finding out if that guy could fit into your organization? Next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Our Beltway Blitz going to cover the teams in town you care about at noon right here on The Fan. Winterfest comes your way this weekend at Nationals Park, December 1st and 2nd. In case any fans out there aren't familiar with Winterfest, it's the weekend-long celebration of baseball and the holidays that features fun activities for the entire family. Kids absolutely love it. Gates are going to open here at Nats Park, 11:30 a.m. both days, go through 4 p.m. More than 20 players are going to be on site. Many of the broadcasters who bring you Nationals action all season long, Dave Jagler, Bob Carpenter here, and Davey Martinez is going to be in the house, as well as general manager and VP of baseball ops Mike Rizzo, who sits down and joins us right now as we're broadcasting live throughout the day from the Nats team store. Mike, first of all, welcome. Glad that you braved the cold walking over here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a short little walk, but yeah, it's a little windy out there, but beautiful sunny day.
Off season so far, you guys have focused on the bullpen. You went out and you were able to get Kyle Bearclaw. Was had a lot of success against you in the division. It's been terrific with the Marlins.
Nasty.
And Trevor Rosenthal's been added, who at one point in time was one of the best closers in the game. Do you feel like the top priority was the pen, or has it just worked out that that's who was available first?
Yeah, you know, at that time of year, you're looking for some type of values. And we didn't mark our calendars and say we're going to have two potential answers in the back of our bullpen, you know, by Thanksgiving. But it worked out that way. And, you know, we took advantage of Miami was, you know, trying to, you know, come up with some international spending money to do what they're trying to do. And we thought it was a good value for Bearclaw, who's, you know, his stuff is terrific and has had some early success in the big leagues. Struggled a little bit in the second half of last year, but, you know, we've seen enough of him up close and personal to know what his capabilities are. And same thing with Rosenthal. You know, we've seen him for years and closing out big games and pitching big innings. And, you know, that both the guys are stuff guys with nasty demeanors and we think capable of handling those back end of the bullpen type of games.
Mike, is the catcher position solved now with Kurt Suzuki? He's got a mid-8 OPS last couple years. Has actually been better than some of the elite names in the sport, but he's kind of settled into that 90 game or so role where he's best. Do you feel like that's what he's going to do for you guys, or what you're thinking there?
Well, I think that we're satisfied with where we're at so far with the catching core. Kaboom had a good finish for us last year. He took a step in the right direction as one of our prospects who became a big leaguer, and we've got some depth with Severino. You're never finished. We certainly are going to get our feelers out there and see if we can upgrade, if it's possible to do that and have more depth in the organization. But Zook was a good, he was a good acquisition for us. He gives us, everything you need behind the plate, between the lines, in the clubhouse, and in the leadership role. And as you said, he's been a sneaky kind of elite type of catcher in the game for the last couple of years. And we all know what he did for us in 12 when he came over and performed admirably for us.
2 years, $10 million. Presumably, he'll be your starter on opening day, though, you would think.
Yeah, you would think so. That's what we brought him in here for. You know, he's a guy that's been stretched before and has played a lot of games in the past. You know, he's 35 years old, so you know we're certainly going to be cognizant of that. But like I said, we've come a long way to upgrading our catching core and not only behind the plate but in the clubhouse and with a leadership role on the club.
What can you tell us about the workings during the offseason with what you get to do and what you want to do? In other words, an offseason or two ago, you guys are the defending champions and you're going into a season where it's you and not much else. The Braves are not going away. They've got tremendous young pitching at the 4A and Major League levels at this point. The Phillies are only getting better and they're here to stay as well. This division is now up for grabs year in and year out. It's not like you guys have that stranglehold. How much does that change your conversations at the beginning of off seasons with the learners in terms of what they allow you to do, the money you're allocated, the payroll? Or is it kind of the same as always where they say, oh, that'd be nice if you could go out and get that guy, but we're not doing that?
Well, we're going to attack this offseason like we've attacked every other offseason. We have a laundry list of things that we would like to upgrade, improve, tweak, and that type of thing. And you know, we talk about the youth of the Braves, and we've seen that in the Phillies. They're coming in the right direction. We've always had respect for the Mets with that rotation. They always give themselves a chance to win. And the Marlins are rebuilding, and they always give us trouble, it seems, each and every year. So we respect the division. We've won it 4 out of the last 7 years. We thought we were going to win it last year. We should have won it last year. We had the team to win it last year. We didn't. We earned the record that we had last year, and we think that we are the favorites or the team to beat in the division this year. And we talk about the youth of the other clubs, and you know, when you're talking about, we've got a 19-year-old left fielder. We're going to have a 21-year-old center fielder. We got a 29-year-old right fielder with or with Harp. We're going to have either a 26-year-old free agent out there, or go with the core that we have. Michael Taylor is a dynamic player. You got Rendon and Turner and three horses in the front of the rotation. You got three good arms at the back end of the bullpen, and you've got some good young kids to sprinkle in. So the Braves aren't going nowhere, as you said. The Nats are going nowhere. We're here and we're entrenched, and our goal is to always play meaningful games in September and October. And I think that it's going to be no different this year.
Yeah, when you lay out the core, as you just did, it's still pretty formidable. And the expectations there, which is a good thing. You mentioned last year. Help me and some Nats fans understand the luxury tax for Major League Baseball is so complicated. I start to see some of the calculations. My eyes bleed and I go into a coma. I can't figure it out. What was the reasoning for you guys behind the moves after the trade deadline, where you unloaded some of the guys that were, you know, again, the year didn't go according to plan? What was gained from moving on? Was it just simple, you know, payroll relief? Was it, you know, just kind of, I guess, walk us through some of the thinking there.
Well, it was several things happened in those times is you move a good popular player, Murphy, Adams, and that group of guys. We've got players that we really like, young players that we really like. For Murphy, we've got salary relief. We had an opportunity to open up for Defoe to play every day. We improved defensively, and we got ourselves a really good hard throwing Double-A closer that three scouts in our organization liked. Mm-hmm. So that always is paramount to what we're trying to do. We had these same conversations, when we acquired minor leaguers like a kid named Tanner Roark and a guy named Wilson Ramos back in the day, when you make these trades at the trade deadline, and you try to flip major leaguers for prospects, and hopefully that the guys we acquire at the deadline and beyond the deadline are guys that can help us in the future, like Ramos and Roark and a bunch of other guys did.
Mike Rizzo on Grant and Danny. We've talked about this for years now. We haven't talked about it in November of the offseason, in which he's now a free agent. Bryce Harper. I mean, can we definitively say at this point he's not coming back?
No, I'd never close the door on that. We made him a really good, aggressive market value offer. They rejected it. They went into free agency. We're going into free agency. We've got things on our wish list that we need to get, but we certainly aren't shutting the door on bringing him back.
And the offer was reportedly, for those of you listening, $300 million. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but I would ask you this.
What do you think? Do I want to comment on that?
I would say you don't.
I guess you don't, no. Just knowing you.
It's your job to say no, and it's my job to ask you to do so. But here is what I would ask, though. Was that a starting point, or was that a, this is our offer, come back to us if it works out?
Well, we're certainly not going to discuss, over the air what our negotiating posture is and what our strategy is and that type of thing. It was our offer out of respect to one of our hallmark players that I've known since he's 16 years old. It was driven and given by ownership directly to him. We've met with ownership several times with Harp and made an aggressive market value, respectful offer, and wanted to treat him with the respect and just the way we felt about him for so many years. We wanted to make it respectful and above board, and I thought we did that.
Mike, on that front, it can be very difficult if there's a bidding war for a player and you're waiting to hear. You have a hat or iron in the fire, whatever it is, and if that player, which is his right, chooses somewhere else, teams can be, well, shoot, we were counting on that guy. Now what do we do? You guys have the challenge of balancing and building a team with or without Bryce Harper. I think you've done an admirable job of setting the stage for that, but is it one of those things where if you guys make a couple signings, that offer's then going to go away? Talk about some of that planning therein where you go, we've got it budgeted if he comes back tomorrow and says yes to that offer, or how does that kind of balance?
Well, it's the marketplace, the free agent marketplace specifically is very fluid. If someone takes your offer, it changes the landscape. If you make a trade and taking on a lucrative contract, the landscape could change. What we've put into place here is we have given ourselves options. We did the same thing when Ian Desmond was on the brink of becoming a free agent.
Yeah.
You try and be prepared for all these scenarios. The development of Soto and Robles, having Michael Taylor as the defensive Gold Glove caliber guy that he is, and dynamic player at times that he is, getting a terrific player like Adam Eaton a couple years back gave us an opportunity to play with or without Harper, and I think that was our strategy back then, because you could never, these players, they earned the right to become a free agent. Man, it's not easy to play 6 years in the big leagues and get 6 years of service time and to be open to all the clubs in the big leagues to get your next job. So we respect that, but you have to plan for it. And I thought we had a great strategy going back a couple of years to foresee these things, and which is my job. And you hear me talk about the 1, 3, and 5 year plans that we always have in my mind, and I thought that we put ourselves in a good position to compete, with and without Harp.
This is the first offseason in a while where the front office and Mike Rizzo, who's our guest, gets together, and you probably need some help in the middle of your starting rotation. Is it fair to say that by the time opening day rolls around, you'd like to have added a number three type starter, either via trade or on that Dallas Keuchel, Pat Corbin list of guys you can go out and sign?
Well, you never have enough starting pitching. Starting pitching is the driver of winning teams, and I think it's safe to say that we're certainly going to go down every avenue, free agency, trade wise, to acquire starting pitching, because you never have enough of it.
How do you balance the window that you guys are in? Because we've talked about this core. It's still really, really darn good. And that's something. But you've got some young guys on the way. Sometimes Juan Soto forces your hand. Sometimes Victor Robles forces your hand. But you look at young Spencer Keboom, who's in the Arizona Fall League, who looks like a guy on the come. How do you sort of balance the, hey, we could win right now, let's go get a marquee second baseman because he's available? Not necessarily commenting on that spot. But how do you balance the desire to develop the young guys with that, we could get somebody that could help us for a couple of years at a really high level?
Well, it's a luxury that we've had in this organization for, since I've been the GM, is that we've got good young players coming all the time. And that's a credit to scouting and player development. And they've put us in position again that we've when you add a a 19-year-old big leaguer and a 20-year-old big leaguer in Soto and Robles, and you've got guys like a Defoe and a Suero and these guys who really came from the system and really impacted your major league roster. That with the other guys coming, the Keybooms and the Garcias and the Crows and that group of guys that are the next wave, as we like to call them, you have to be cognizant of their development. Some guys you can throw into big leagues at 18 and 19 years old. It's not done very often. It's been done a handful of times. We've had the luxury of doing it several times. I've done it. I've had three players that were 19-year-olds into big leagues, and Robles was, I think, a day into his 20th year.
An old man.
Birthday. You know, I've had Justin Upton and Harper and Soto and Robles.
Pretty good list there.
It's a good list of good young 19-year-olds to get to the big leagues. It's again a credit to the players and to the staffs to get these guys. But I think you have to balance where they're at. Are they ready? You know, we call it the second deck syndrome, where you get in those big league parks and you're in front of 35,000-40,000 instead of 5,000. You know, how do you handle it? And I think that the good players kind of separate themselves, and I think that we've got several key guys in key spots that are knocking on the door to get here.
Mike, the best way I think to end this conversation is for me to just give you my man crush free agent, who's a discount, he's a bargain, and it would be an awesome addition. And then you can do nothing with it and just go back and live your life?
I probably will.
Marwin Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal baseball player. Championship-level piece. Terrific defensively at several spots. Would fit really well with the Nationals.
Yeah, he fit well with about 29, 30 yeah. teams. He is. He's a terrific player offensively, defensively, and he's a great addition to any club.
So just make that happen.
We've been arguing about this behind the scenes, by the way.
Got a note. Mental note.
Yeah, that's like, by the way, a comedian. Like, hey, you should do this bit about
it's
trains.
A good idea for you.
Yeah. It's got to be
the really good player.
Like, poor Mike Rizzo's like holiday party. Yeah. Like,
and
you
I love
know,
DJ LeMahieu. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate the time. Good catching
Thanks,
up with
Mike.
You.
Well, pleasure,
look at
guys.
This food coming.
Look at this.
They're treating us so well.
Look
here.
At this.
We're having a good time at the Nats team store. That was the VP of Baseball Ops, the General Manager, Mike Rizzo. Check him out at Winterfest this weekend at Nats Park. We are live at the team store. Come say hello outside of the center field gate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.